You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Dr. David Grinspoon looks at the catastrophic events in Earth's 4.5 billion year history and then considers the positives. The Planetary Science Institute astrobiologist focuses much of his work on how changes in planetary climate could allow for life to exist. In his newest book, Earth in Human Hands, Grinspoon notes that for the first time, humans are in control of the future of Earth rather than natural events. Earth in Human Hands was named one of NPR Science Friday Best Science Books of 2016. And Dr. Grinspoon joins me in studio now. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's nice to be here.
And we should note that you will be speaking at Boise State University tonight from 7:30 to 9:30 in the BSU Special Events Center. His talk is free and open to the public. So if you are looking for something to do tonight, you now have something to do. So thank you again. I appreciate you coming in. So tell me, first off, what is the difference about the climate change that's occurring right now on Earth than previous changes that we've seen in Earth's history?
Well, Earth has a long history of climate change. There have been ice ages. There have been times when it's been warmer than now and the Earth has been completely ice-free. So it's not true that, left to its own devices, Earth's climate is just sort of stable and benign. But what's happening now is that we're forcing a very rapid climate change, and the best projections we have are that it's going to be more rapid than natural climate changes have been in the past and extreme. And we are not very well equipped to deal with the consequences of that. It's not true that life on Earth is threatened by these changes, but it may very well be true that human civilization is threatened because we're sort of fragile. I mean, we depend on this agricultural carrying capacity. You know, we depend on the coastlines being a certain way. And if we force these changes, there's a way in which the biosphere ultimately will adapt. But our own civilization depends on things staying within a certain range that we are now threatening to push the Earth beyond that range.
And that is humans, human consumption. Is that what your findings?
Well, I mean, most immediately, it's simply our emission of carbon dioxide from all the burning of fossil fuels. That's not the only thing that's changing the climate, but that's by far the greatest effect. And yes, that has to do with our patterns of consumption and our attitude towards the natural world, if you want to really get into it. We have to realize that we've become a planet-changing force and act accordingly. And we're starting to realize that. And we do have ways we can change our behavior to not threaten those conditions that we depend upon. That's the good news, is that we actually do know how to solve this problem physically, but of course, it's a challenge for our society to integrate that knowledge and change our behavior quickly enough so that we avoid doing too much damage until we sort of get with the program.
So let's talk about A, what we can do, and then B, timeline. I mean, we're not talking like 10 years from now where none of us are going to be here.
No, absolutely not. I mean, people do tend to think of climate change sometimes as this cliff we're about to go off of. And it's not really like that. There's a lot of possible paths. And we do threaten our future well-being, and there's potentially very dangerous consequences. And part of the problem is there's some uncertainty in our ability to model this. But none of the scenarios show, oh, it's just going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no set number of years.
In five years, it's over.
10 years is
right.
Over. Sometimes people like to represent it that way. And I understand that because they want people to feel a sense of urgency. They want people to sort of wake up and be alarmed. So I get the motivation behind that, but it's not really accurate. There's no time when this is going to be over. What is required is a long-term change in our lifestyle and
our
approach.
Our thinking?
Our thinking, yes, in our approach to nature. Most immediately, the energy sources we use. But there are other energy sources, renewable energy is getting cheaper. And, it isn't rocket science. And I can say that because I am a rocket scientist.
Because you are a rocket scientist.
It's just a matter of enough people realizing what the situation is so that we make the right choices.
So let's talk about the average person, right? Okay, what can I do, right? There's only so much that I can do when it comes to what energy sources that are coming my way that I can use. What can just the average non-rocket science person do?
Yeah, well, so there's multiple scales that we can act on. There's the most immediate, the choices we make in our own lives, and there's very simple things like, just sort of turning off lights and, which sounds silly, but cumulatively all of this makes a difference. And, there are choices we make in transportation and so forth, but really that's only part of the solution, because individuals in some places don't really have choices. If you live in a community where you're dependent on getting in a car to go somewhere, ultimately you can buy a different kind of car and there'll be other choices that come along and you don't have to necessarily use the most energy demanding car. But you can't by yourself change the infrastructure in your community. So that's the other scale, is being aware and communicating and voting and supporting changes that are needed on a larger societal level. Those changes are coming. 100 years from now, we're not going to be using fossil fuels. We will be over this, and we'll look back on it. It'll be like whale oil. Like, well, we probably did that a little too long, and we did too much damage. But now, boy, that was dumb. It'll be like that. It's just a question of how that change is coming. It's a question of how rapidly we make that change to avoid doing too much damage. And so, one level is on the societal, political awareness level beyond your own personal choices. So there's sort of the micro and the macro, and all of that is needed.
We're speaking with Dr. David Grinspoon. He is an astrobiologist and author of Earth in Human Hands. And if you have questions, we would like to hear from you. You can always email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Go on Twitter, KBSX 91.5, #IdahoMatters, or go to our Facebook page at Boise State Public Radio. So in your book, you say, quote, extinction is a fact of life. So is this true for humans as well? And you kind of talked about that we're kind of a delicate species.
Well, when you think about extinction, there are a lot of interesting sort of paradoxes, almost kind of emotional paradoxes you come across, because you think about the mass extinctions in Earth's history. Mm-hmm. There have been 5 mass extinctions. The most recent and very dramatic one was 65 million years ago, when an asteroid hit and wiped out the dinosaurs and most of the other large species at that time. And you think, well, that's a terrible tragedy. But do you wish it hadn't happened? Not if you value if you like human beings and
right.
art and science and radio and all the things that humans do. We would not be here without that tragedy. So just as death is a fact of life for individuals, extinction is a fact of life for species and part of the necessary process of evolution. And yet, so we can look at past mass extinctions and go, well, that was too bad for the species there, but I'm glad it happened because I like that we're here now. But then
good thing
you think
I wasn't a dinosaur, right?
Yeah. But then you think of future mass extinctions like the one that we might be causing now, and you think, well, that seems really tragic. And the fact that we're aware of it. I mean, the asteroid wasn't presumably aware that it was heading towards Earth and going to wipe out the dinosaurs. But now that we are the possible agents of extinction and we're aware of our actions, that changes it. And it does become tragic if we not only endanger ourselves but endanger a vast number of other species on this planet. And so the way we think about future extinctions, I think, is different from the way we think about past extinctions. And it is indeed our responsibility to avert a catastrophe if we can see it coming.
Long term, is there a sense of urgency with this? Do you have a positive outlook on the human race and where we're going and the changes we're making?
Well, part of my perspective is because I'm an astrobiologist and I think about planetary history, the very long view, not just what's happening this year and this decade and even this century and even this millennium, but I work on timescales of millions of years and even billions of years. And so I'm looking at what's happening now in the context of the whole history of the planet. And so in some sense, this is a blip. But it's also a blip that we care very much about because we're here and our children are here, right?
And I have to wrap you up because the music is playing. Dr. David Grinspoon, an astrobiologist and author of Earth in Human Hands, thank you for joining us. If you get a chance, go listen to him speak tonight, 7:30 at Boise State University. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You can hear today's program and previous interviews at our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you back here tomorrow.